Please keep Linda in your prayers tonight. She's running a fever and has a sore throat. And many of you know that she has a very low resistance to germs since her cancer treatment several years ago. So she's the first one to catch stuff. And it's a little hard for her to shake it at times. Sunday, of course, Brother Wayne Porter be with us for the morning service and the afternoon service. And we're going to have a potluck lunch. Encourage everybody to bring something delicious that you like to eat. It can be Italian food, it can be Spanish food, it could be rice, it could be anything. It could be food from the Philippines. I know you guys like pizza, right? But we'll have a good time. We'll put it all together and we'll have a nice lunch together, and then we'll have a shortened service in the afternoon right after we have lunch, somewhere around, maybe 2:30 or something like that. We'll see, maybe 2. And then we'll be off for the weekend, the long weekend. I don't know what your plans are for Monday, maybe just to kick back and relax, or maybe you're going to be traveling, but all over America Monday, people will be celebrating Labor Day, and this is a time where we count our blessings on Labor Day. We thank God for work. Work is a gift from God, amen. And in America, we still have opportunity, and this is still the envy of the world. This is still where people want to come. And so we will pray tonight in our prayer meeting, of course, for our country and our elected officials as well during this time of the year. All right, well, tonight, open your Bibles, please, to 1 Kings. We have started a new series last week in 1 Kings chapter 1. And I think we covered the first 10 verses. And I'd just like to give a little review, a little introduction, further introduction to the book of 1 and 2 Kings. Written probably by Jeremiah, covers a period of about 130 years from the rise of Solomon until the death of Ahab, and it's a history of all the kings of Israel that ruled over the divided kingdom. After the death of Solomon, Israel was divided into two countries, had the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and each of them had their own king. And so 1 and 2 Kings gives us a history. The Bible doesn't pull any punches. It tells us about the wicked kings and their wicked deeds, and they certainly outnumbered the good kings. There weren't very many good kings during those days. But let's look at chapter 1 for a moment, and we'll just review the first part of the chapter. Notice, now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. And he's very sick. He's at the end of his life. And notice verse 5. We'll go down to verse 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in his saying. He was used to having his own way in his life. He's a spoiled child. And now we see that he does what's natural for a spoiled child. And he wants something, he goes out and takes it. So why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they followed Adonijah. They following Adonijah helped him. But Zadok the priest and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada and Nathan the prophet and Shimei and Rei and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zehuleath, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren and the king's sons and all the men of Judah and the king's servants, but Nathan the prophet and the Benaiah and the mighty men and Solomon his brother he called not. Wherefore Nathan spake also unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, Hast thou not heard that Adonijah the son of Haggith doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? And let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity tonight to fellowship on Wednesday night and to look at the book of 1 Kings, and we pray that you would help us tonight to understand the times that we're reading about, and Lord, that we might take home some lessons to help us also in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We mentioned in verse number 6 that Absalom was a spoiled child growing up. Notice, and his father had not displeased him. He wanted to please him in everything that he did. And when you have a spoiled child, you really ruin that child. Amen? Because there's a price to pay later on. We should have learned as a child that our will is not the only will in creation. A lot of times children, all they care about is what they want. And it doesn't dawn on them that there are other people in the world that also have wills. And a child's will must give way to their parents' will. And we should never break a child's spirit, but we do need to conquer their will. They do need to obey us. Amen? And this story tells us that ambition is good unless it's guided by selfishness. There's nothing wrong with being ambitious. But selfishness is the wrong side of ambition. Amen? And unfortunately, Adonijah was very selfish. He wanted to be the next king no matter what. And if a child is spoiled, it does them a great harm in life. Can you imagine a child complaining about a pain in their arm day in and day out, and the parent does nothing about it, and then finally they decide, you know, maybe we ought to take the child to the doctor. And the doctor takes a look at the child, and the doctor says, why didn't you come earlier? If you came earlier, I could help you. I can't help you now. You know, the church sometimes gets emergency phone calls, and they expect the pastor to straighten out their family situation with maybe a rebellious teenager, and they haven't been bringing the kid to church his whole life, and now it's up to me to perform the miracle. And that kind of sad. Amen? I feel like saying, you should have brought the kid to church when he was young, when he wanted to come. Amen? But I never do say that. But it's true. The younger the better. And but in any event, aren't you glad that still with God all things are possible? Amen. And so that gives me hope no matter who calls or no matter what the problem may be. But yes, the time to bring them is when they are small and when they are young. And it was natural for Adonijah to do what he did because he was used to having his own way all of his life. And notice in verse 11, now the king is notified. He's notified, David's notified of what's going on in his own family. And he gets together with Bathsheba and Nathan, and they decide the plan of action, how to save the throne for Solomon. And they go into that action. And they carry it out successfully. And notice verse number 28, after it's done, Adonijah now is afraid for his life. And notice verse 28, and King David answered and said, Call me Bathsheba. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king sware and said, As the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so will I certainly do of this day. So his mind is made up, and God's will is going to be accomplished. And Adonijah now is going to be running. You know, it's interesting that Adonijah thought he had pulled it off. He had a little following, and he was happy, and they were celebrating, and the Lord showed that God Almighty is sovereign over the affairs of men and nations. Amen? But in any event, 1 Kings describes Solomon's reign. It describes his wealth and his wisdom, and is the golden age of Israel. And Israel never improved after the reign of Solomon. That was the height of their glory. And 1 and 2 Kings tells us about the vision after Solomon's death. Jerusalem becomes the capital of the southern kingdom, and Samaria becomes the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel. And it gives us about 300 years of both nations having kings under them. And so Solomon's rise is attributed to his desire for wisdom. If you recall, after he became king, the Lord said, "Ask anything you want, Solomon. What is it that you want? I'll give it to you." Boy, how would you like God to ask you that? "I'll hold back nothing. I'll give you whatever you want." That's a loaded question, isn't it? I'd probably be selfish and say, "You know, I'd like you to, instead of saying that once, would you say it to me 10 times? But he didn't ask for fame. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for... all he wanted was wisdom to be a good king. And God said, "Because you didn't ask for fame, I'll give it to you. Because you didn't ask for fortune, I'll give it to you. And I'm also going to give you what you asked for, wisdom." And he became the greatest king in all of Israel. But his weakness, he had a weakness for strange women, as we know about from the scriptures, which was his downfall. And they influenced him to turn his heart away from the Lord. And this history shows us, as I said, good kings and evil kings, successes and defeated lives. It shows us how that we have to follow godly leadership in our own lives. And we need to be godly leaders for others. And that's one of the big issues in politics, is to try to find somebody who's godly. Amen? Amen. And whether you agree maybe with their religious views or not, if they've got character, they're worthy of a vote. Amen? And that's what we need in this country, is people with character. And this is a very important election. I think a lot is going to... we're in a bad shape if we just don't change direction. I'll just put it that way without telling you who to vote for. But our heart's condition is more important to the Lord than our personal accomplishments. And Solomon cared about his heart's condition. And it also tells us about the company that we keep with our family and friends can affect us either in a negative way or a positive way. And it's good to have good friendships. Amen? It's good to be around people that fear God. It's good to be around the right kind of influence. And that's one of the great benefits of going to church. It does rub off on you. Amen? And when people start slacking from church, they start hanging around the wrong crowd. And sooner or later, it's going to just bring them down further and further away from God. But in any event, 1 Kings, it could be divided into 5 parts. Chapters 1 through 11 is the reign of Solomon. Chapters 12 through 14 is the divisions of Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Chapter 15 and 16 is Judah's kings and Israel's kings, all named out in a little history of them. Chapter 17 through 22 is the great story of Elijah and his all his run-ins with King Ahab. It's wonderful reading. It's really true history. It's in the Word of God. And Jeremiah was quite the prophet and quite successful in spite of the fact that he had to deal with such a knucklehead like Ahab. Amen? We won't even bring up his wife, Jezebel. I mean, she was a basket case. No pun intended. If you know about how she died, no pun intended. But in any event, Brother Jonathan covered verses 1 through 10. And we'll go a little further tonight. We talked about Adonijah, David's other son, proclaiming himself as king, seeking power for all the wrong reasons. People should seek power to serve. They should not seek power just so that they could be powerful, amen, and to lord it over other people. I noticed one of the things at the Republican convention that is, I'm glad it's there. It's almost an answer to prayer that it's there, and that is the national debt is showed in live time, running up the total as they're speaking. Millions of dollars each second. And you can see the national debt climbing. Sometime during this week, it's going to break the $16 trillion mark. It's at $15 trillion, I think $700 billion, and it just keeps going. I mean, nobody seems to care if the goal should be to stop that clock. Amen? I mean, sure, you'd like to run it backwards. But in order to run it backwards, you've got to get it stopped first. You've got to stop some of this the crazy spending. But in any event, in 1 Kings chapter 1, Nathan the prophet warned Solomon's mother, as we read. And Adonijah, as we said, he wanted to take advantage of David's age. David is old. He's ready to die. He's an old man near death. And you know it's sad whenever you hear about, maybe you know about it firsthand, but people do strange things when parents die. Amen? Mm-hmm. Even good people. I've known good people that have done some strange things because of the almighty dollar. Yes. There I said it. People that you should be loving and caring for, just because someone dies in the family that leaves an inheritance, it's wrong. It's wicked, it's sinful to go after that inheritance and leave everybody out just because you can. Amen, amen? Amen. I heard another sad story about the same thing this week. Sisters turning on each other. I mean, it's a terrible testimony. And I just hate whenever I hear about it. Amen? I mean, that's the time when families are supposed to come together. They're supposed to love one another, grieve together, and put their heads together. If there's no will, just try and be honest with each other and do what's best for everybody. Amen? But anyway, you know, when that situation arises, sometimes what's in a person is what comes out. That's when you really find out what's inside somebody. Amen? But any event, if somebody takes advantage of you because you're a Christian, you do one of two things. You can be angry the rest of your life and hate them, not speak to them, or you could just ask God to deal with them. Amen? And ask the Lord not to lose your own joy, that you still have the Lord as your Savior, and He's taking account of everything. And it's not over. It's never over until the Lord takes us home. And He'll still reward us for doing what's right. And so, in any event, I don't know why I got off on that, but it just seems to be a good place. Because that's exactly what Adonijah was doing. He was taking advantage of his father's age, trying to steal everything from the family. And so what Adonijah attempted is the same thing some folks unfortunately do today when their parents are too weak to take care of themselves. And you know what goes around comes around, amen? And you do reap what you sow. And children are always watching us. Our children, our relatives are watching us. And usually, you know, what we do to others has a funny way of coming back and biting us if we do the wrong thing. But in any event, I'd like you to look at verse number 52, chapter 1, 51 and 50. No, let's go to 50. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon, now that he's king, and arose and went and caught hold of the horns of the altar. If he runs into the house of God, this might be a safe place for me to hide. He ain't going to kill me here. And it was told Solomon, saying, "Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon. For lo, he hath caught hold of the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword." Now I'm willing to serve him. And that's something. The same guy who wanted to steal the throne now says, "I'll serve you, Solomon." Verse 57, and Solomon said, he gives him a conditionary promise. Showed wisdom already. Solomon said, "If he will show himself a worthy man, I'm going to put you on probation. And if I find out that you don't mean your words, then we'll deal with you later." Notice he said, "If he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of him fall to the earth." But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. I'll deal with him if he tries to rebel. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to King Solomon, and Solomon said unto him, go to your house. He showed little mercy to his brother, more than his brother was going to show to him. But in any event, Solomon does show some great wisdom there, and he spares the life of his brother, who is now afraid, and he's on probation. Amen? They're watching him. The eyes of Solomon's court is watching that brother to make sure that he doesn't act up anymore. And as long as he behaves himself, he's going to be allowed to live. And so, in any event, chapter 1 is pretty interesting. And we'll just continue our study, Lord willing, next week as we go into 1 Kings a little bit more. Solomon is king, and the greatest king Israel ever had. And Israel sure does need a good king again, doesn't she? But the king is coming. One of these days, that old trumpet's going to sound. And the dead in Christ will rise, and we that which are alive will be caught up together to meet them in the clouds and be together with the Lord. All righty. We'll take some prayer requests at this time. I'm preaching a funeral Saturday. You may remember earlier in the summer I'd asked you to pray for a childhood friend of mine who was terminally ill, that he might be saved. And the Lord did work on his heart, and he got right with God before he passed away. And I didn't think they were going to have any kind of a service for him because his wishes were nothing. He didn't want anything. But evidently the daughter stepped up to the plate, and she called me yesterday and asked if we could have a memorial service for her father. And it's going to be at the cemetery in Carlstead, next to where his parents are buried. And so I'll be there at 11 o'clock in the morning and get a chance to preach right next to our grammar school where both of him and me went to school as kids. And it's ironic that I'll be preaching in a cemetery where I used to be mischievous. We'll just put it that way. Nothing really bad, Joshua. Nothing really. You know, we didn't break the law, I don't think. But I mean, to stand in that cemetery 50 years later with a Bible and preaching, to me, is miraculous. Amen. So there is a God in heaven that answers prayers, that's for sure. And even the bigger miracle is me telling everybody about my friend who's in heaven. Because he lived a rebellious life his whole life. Except probably when he was younger, when he was a young boy. I have some fond memories of him as a young boy growing up. But to please pray for that funeral service Saturday at 11 a.m. I'll get an opportunity to preach the gospel there in the cemetery. And I look forward to that. All right? And also for our weekend, I tell you, the Lord has given us great weather. I think Sunday's going to be 81 degrees. No clouds hardly, and even Labor Day Monday is going to be nice. And so just pray that we'd have a great time in the Lord, and that our neighborhood would also take notice of the gospel music, and that it would open doors for us to reach others for Christ. And of course our missionary letters we read tonight, and pray for our leaders, pray for God's will to be done with the leadership of this country. We need to pray that God would give us mercy and not to give us what we deserve. Amen? To have mercy on us. And any personal prayer requests that you have at this time? Louise?
I appreciate prayer. I went to sit with this man, my children, and he's unsure what he believes in. So he needs prayer.
Amen. Appreciate it.
His name is Al.
Al? Okay. I tell you, it's good to witness to those that God has around us. I'm working on my neighbors now in the new part of Carlstead. My next door neighbor's house caught fire this summer. And so we've had more opportunities to go over there and talk, you know, get to know him better. And his name is Mark, and he has a son, an autistic son, a special child. So I appreciate you praying for Mark also. Salvation or assurance of it. Or if he is saved, to start living like it. Any other prayer requests? Pray for Paula. Paula, way of college. Also, one of BJ's daughters. He drove up to school in New York State. Danica. Amelia.
Amelia.
And of course, our own Gracie is going back to school in Massachusetts in a few weeks. So she's going to be with us for a little bit longer. We'll keep her in your prayers. John?
Pray for my father. He's home right now. And also pray for me and his mom because we rejected people long distance from the Philippines. She fell and she hit her head. And she's not really good at all.
No.
She's 84 years old.
84. God bless her. All right. What's Neely, what's your mom's first name? Maria. Okay. Sandy?
My husband's surgery. And for my son, he shared with us on Sunday that he's very overwhelmed at work, and he wants to be a friend at work.
Young man, 41 years old, died recently. He's struggling there. He's feeling depressed. Before, so just pray
for Michael. Of course, for Ginger.
Yes. Amen. All right. Other prayer requests tonight?
Unspoken.
Alrighty. Well, when we break into prayer groups, and if the fellows would like to meet up front, we can pray together. Maybe John could take our two teams and pray with them. And if the ladies would like to gather over by Sandy.